Good morning. We thank the Lord for His kind providence and good grace in bringing us together this morning to worship Him. Pray for those of our number that are sick and unable to be here. We ask the Lord's mercies upon them. We know that He is able to raise them up and give them strength, heal them according to His own will. I want you to turn, first of all, this morning to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And we'll begin reading at verse 37 and just read a few verses. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in those in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask that You would this day be in our midst to quicken us by Your Spirit and to reveal to us and to enable us to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that according to what we have read, Your coming, which has been long promised, shall have as a part of that time, a time that is preceded by such departures from You and such blatant wickedness as were in the days before the flood. Lord, help us to lay to heart this morning Your truth. Help us to be warned by what we read of Your Word. Help us to look to the Lord Jesus Christ for all salvation, forgiveness, and righteousness. We ask, Lord, that You would cause us to be moved as Noah was into looking to that provision and that salvation that You provided. We pray for those that we have spoken of and many more, especially, Lord, of Your people as they are scattered throughout this world. We pray for all of them, the body of Christ in this world at this present time, that You would help them and strengthen them, that You would enable them to worship, that You would enable them to be encouraged and comforted of heart in all of their situations and for Your glory. We pray now that as we sing further songs and open Your Word to look at Your book, that everything that is done might be done for Your glory, that we might praise You and thank You for all blessings that are ours in Christ, the gift of your grace. We pray that we might know something more of that grace today in what we look at. And we pray in Christ's name, thanking you for all that we have in him, and praying in his name. Amen.
Number 526.
Thank you.
chariot to follow, and I would ask that you join him on the course.
How great thou art!
Turn with me this morning in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. Reading verse 7. Hebrews 11. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. If you can make it to Kentucky, not sure of the place, but somewhere in the state of Kentucky, if you can make it there, and you've got about $50, you can have the Ark experience. Someone has built a replica, supposedly, of the ark, like Noah's ark. And you can go all in it and ramble through the rooms and stalls and what have you. And in your flesh, you can experience this ark. But even if you do that, you'll still simply die in your sins. There's no spiritual benefit, no saving benefit. But if God is merciful to you, He might help you experience the experience of faith, true faith, like Noah's faith. That's what I want us to talk about. True faith like Noah's faith. And before we look at this verse, I want you to turn back to the book of Genesis. And it'd do you good to read all about this in the book of Genesis here around chapter 6. But for this morning, I want you to look at Genesis 6, beginning in verse 5. We read something similar in our reading in Matthew 24. But it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and every creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. And that's just exactly what he did. But if you'll notice in verse 8, it says, But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now the Lord has made a promise and a pledge that he would not destroy this world again by water like he did in the days of the flood. But he has made another pledge also, and that is he will destroy it by fire in this second judgment of the earth that precedes the coming of the Son of Man, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here it says that even though he destroyed the whole world, it says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And it was that truly amazing grace because he wasn't looking for it. He wasn't looking for grace. It's amazing because he was a sinner just like everybody else in his generation. He wasn't a standout individual. He was a sinner. And it was amazing because it came from God, who was at that very time about to bring judgment upon the earth and upon everybody just like Noah. And someday, this day, he'll show grace. There'll be others like Noah that find grace in the eyes of the Lord. They won't be looking for it either. They might be looking for religion. They might be looking for a good feeling. But they won't be looking for true grace from God. They won't be deserving it. But what I want you to notice, especially this morning, is that when God showed grace to Noah, this grace was manifested in this way. Noah believed God. He didn't see visions in the sky. He didn't experience funny feelings. When God showed grace to Noah, it was manifested that Noah had received grace from God because he believed God. He believed God. He believed and therefore demonstrated that he had faith. He'd been made alive spiritually. Christ said in John, "He that liveth and believeth." the sign and evidence of spiritual life, God-given life, is faith. He that liveth and believeth, that's who's going to be saved. And we've all heard that verse, read that verse, heard it quoted so many times. But I don't think we sometimes realize the fullness of it when God says through Paul in Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." And then he says this, "And that not of yourselves." Noah didn't have faith of himself. He wasn't born in this world with faith. It came to him as a gift of God's grace. That's what grace is all about, gifts from God. "For you're, by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God." Faith is the gift of God. God always saves his people through faith, through the faith that he gives. "And the faith by which they are delivered by him," sovereign grace is the source and cause of that faith that the Bible says saved. It was the case with Noah. And it didn't rest in something that he did. It rests in something God said. So when we see him being spoken of here in Hebrews chapter 11, it says this: "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Now this verse says a lot about Noah, and it says a lot about the faith of Noah. And the first thing that it says is this, that Noah's faith, this faith by which God saves his people, Noah's faith was based solely and entirely on what God said. If we do not know what God has said, we cannot and we do not have faith. We have nothing sound to base our believing on, no matter how strong we feel it, no matter how good it seems. If God hasn't said it, we can't have faith. Because he did not believe, he did not act, he did not find comfort in the words of men or of his own feelings or fancies, but God. That's so plain. That's so basic. When we discuss things with people, the first standard and basis of any discussion is the Word of God. Do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe the Bible? They say, well, it depends on how you interpret it. No, it doesn't. God has said what he has said, and it only gets complicated when men try to interpret it in another light. They try to move from these plain sayings. They try to add into it that which is not said and take from it that which is said. And without this word of God, there's no basis for faith.
Amen.
It's simple. Paul said it like this in Romans 10. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Noah simply, just like Abraham, it says of Abraham, and every one of God's elect throughout all the ages, Abraham, Noah, they all believe God. They all believe God. Noah moved being warned of God. You don't have to fear all that these preachers come up with. You don't have to respond to their threats. You don't have to believe things simply because men said it, religious men. But you do have to believe the word of God. You have to have heard from God in some way. This is what it says in Luke chapter 5. Now when he had left speaking, he said, Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw. He simply told these men who had toiled all night and caught nothing. He simply told them to go back out and let down their nets. And Simon, answering him, said, Master, we have toiled all night. We know something about fishing. We know what the tides are. We know what everything is in this fishing business. And we have toiled, we fished all night, and we've not caught anything. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Everything was against their catching any fish. And yet they let down their net and they caught a lot of fish. What was the difference in them not catching fish and them catching fish? It was simply what God did and how he enabled them to believe. He says, nevertheless, at thy word. Does it seem possible? Does it seem logical? Does it seem historical? But nevertheless, we believe because of what God said. And we're like Paul, who in that great wind that was about to destroy the ship and all that was all in them, though so much so that these mariners were afraid for it. But listen to what Paul says to them. He says, sirs, be of good cheer. How in the world is that possible? You're watching as the wild wind blows the deck scaffolding and everything off the deck. You're watching as the waves plunge and it's obvious that the ship will go down in a minute. How in the world would you ever be of good cheer? How in the world could you ever find anything in this day, which is like Noah's day, preceding judgment, to be of good cheer about? He said, be of good cheer, for I believe God. I believe God. Do you believe in God, Paul? Well, yes, I do, but that's not what I mean. He said, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. I believe God, and my faith is based on His word, His saying, what He said and nobody else. Nobody else. Believing what God says about everything. Especially believing what God says that He's done. Believing what God says that He has made us in Christ. Faith, like Noah's, is based always on the Word of God. And even so today, it's not what this religious world says about anything. It's not what things appear to be at any given moment. We believe to the comfort and consolation and rest of our souls when we believe God. And when we believe God, we don't believe what's commonly believed, what's generally accepted. We don't believe what men say with regard to the things, especially of our soul and the things of Christ. Turn over to 2 Peter just a moment. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. It says, God spared not the whole world. Look at verse 5. For He spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Noah believed, and therefore that word is heralded or preached with the authority of God. He told his generation in those days preceding the flood exactly what God had said. But most of them didn't believe it. I mean, most of them, in the sense of all but eight of them, didn't believe it. And therefore, their unbelief, it didn't change a thing. It didn't change what God had said. It didn't change what God had promised. God brought the flood on them, and they, to the day that it rained, the waters came and the flood came, they were full of unbelief, and they died in their unbelief. But Noah, because of God's grace, was spared. And he believed God to the saving of his soul. Here's the second thing about Noah's believing. He believed and he laid hold of the unseen. He believed what God said, according to this verse, things as not seen as yet. Not only things not yet come to pass literally, but spiritually. He believed. And when anybody has true faith, it's always a belief that looks to Christ. He saw in that ark and what it would represent, he saw more than a thing like you'd find out there in Kentucky. He saw it as a picture of salvation and deliverance from the wrath of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. He laid hold of things that were not seen. Let me read you a verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, Paul says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." The things of God's grace, they're not natural to us, and they're not things that are seen and observed and sensed by the senses of this flesh. Faith does not come by the seeing. He believed the unseen. Next verse. "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit." In other words, faith is God, the Spirit, taking the Word, the things of God's Word, and revealing them to us, showing them to us, delivering them to us, and teaching us something about what those words mean. You see, it's all about the things of God's grace in Christ. It's all about what He reveals in Christ. It's all about what He has freely given us in Christ. No one has seen a world destroyed by a flood before. No one has ever seen a world destroyed by fire either. And we cannot see ourselves as being saved, as being righteous before God, except by faith. I look at you, and I see friends. I know this will shock you, but I also see faults. I don't see perfect people. I don't see righteous people. And when I look at myself, I look at my actions, I look at my thoughts, I look at my works, when I look at me, I don't see a perfect individual either. Far from it. Far from it. So if I see myself as being righteous at all, it has to be because God said so. He says that we're justified freely. That is, we're declared righteous by God, freely, by grace, through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. We lay hold of the unseen. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what faith is. When this chapter 11 on faith begins with all these illustrations of faith, it begins with this. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." I didn't see Christ die on that cross. I can't see His righteousness. You see, that's what the flesh, that's what men always by nature want. That's why religion teaches you that you can find some kind of evidence by your life or by your improvements, by your progress, always something that you can see visibly. I can't see it. But I can tell you this, if you can see it and you depend on it, you're lost. You're lost. Because salvation by grace is through faith in things not seen, things revealed by the Spirit of God, things that are based on what God says that He has done in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, he says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal or temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Everything that's not seen, or I should say, everything that's eternal is a thing not seen. Listen to Peter, speaking of Christ. He says, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though you now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Isn't it amazing? As you watch people in this world and as you experience yourself, things that you see are always momentarily joyous and then the joy goes away. Or the things that you see in this world, they're always passing away. As he says, they're always temporary. But when God gives you faith, in that which is unseen, in the Christ that is unseen, that you're not going to find a picture of him on your wall, that you're not going to find a statue of him anywhere. The unseen Christ, the one that's set forth in the Word of God, when you see him by faith, you love him. And you're filled with joy unspeakable. And full of glory. And you give up all those things. Another thing is this. Noah's faith moved by fear. That's what it says. Noah moved by fear. This is not some kind of dread. But it's a reverence as to who it is that's speaking to us. And we realize, faith realizes and believes that God's threatenings as well as his promises of blessings are true. Noah believed what God said about this flood. Pretty scary. But no more scary than what he says about destroying this world by flood. I was reading something the other day or seeing it about all these scientists, you know, that say that the world in a time could be destroyed by all these asteroids and things falling out of the sky. I don't know if that's true or not. But I know for sure that God has said that he will destroy the world this time by fire. I don't know if it's asteroids or fire and brimstone or whatever it is. Doesn't matter. But it's true. You see, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of salvation, beginning of wisdom. That's a holy reverence for God as the Almighty, as the Holy One, as the Sovereign of the universe, as the just God. He moved with this fear, the fear of God. But Paul says of all men, naturally, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Used to be an advertising program for some youth product, clothes or something. But you see these t-shirts everywhere around it, they would say on them, "No fear." The person that doesn't fear God is a fool. That's right. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He moved with fear. And Noah's faith had an outward evidence and demonstration. It says that he prepared the ark and that he entered the ark. In other words, he prepared the ark at God's word and bidding, and he entered the ark at God's bidding. He said, "Come into the ark." In other words, he believed the good news. He believed the gospel of God's sovereign grace. He looked to Christ. The ark was a type of the gospel wherein the righteousness of God is revealed and revealed to this preacher of righteousness. But how was he righteous? In the light of this righteous judgment of God, when he was just like everybody else. You say, God gave him a bow on this one. No, he didn't. He judged Noah, this man who had found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He judged Noah's sins just like he judged everybody else's sins. But Noah's judgment came against the ark, came against this type of Christ. It's worthwhile just to go through the description in the ark, what it's made of, how they did it, pitched it with tar inside and out. Actually, it must have looked like a big black box. No form or comeliness that we should desire. That's where the safety was. And when Noah was brought into the ark by God, all those waters, all that flood, all those winds, all that judgment came upon Noah as he was in the ark, but the ark bore it all. And he was saved. The same judgment that destroyed all the others came against the ark. But faith that does not believe and identify with the true gospel is not genuine faith. Look over in Romans chapter 10. Romans 10. And these verses are so familiar. In Romans 10 and verse 9, he says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I feel fairly sure that when God promises that new heart, that covenant heart, what he's promising and what he's giving is what is called the heart, the new heart of faith. The new heart is the heart of faith. He says in in opposition to that, he said, be careful unless there be in you an evil heart of unbelief. But what Paul is saying here is that what one really believes is the same as what they confess. What they believe in the heart is what they confess with the mouth. If they don't confess this outwardly, they don't believe it in the heart. There's so many people who are deceived, and they think that they believe something that they're not willing to tell about, that they're not willing to identify with. So many preachers that claim to believe the truth, but they're not willing to preach the truth. They're not willing to identify with the church of Christ, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. They're not willing, but rather ashamed of it. Look at verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now it means also that they'll not be disappointed. But it means they'll not be ashamed. Can you imagine Noah? What he must have endured for all that time. Something between 75 and 100 years, building the ark when there'd never been water, never been a flood, never been enough to float this thing, and he all the time preaching righteousness that if you don't get in the ark, you'll perish. The only place of safety is the ark. The only righteousness there is the ark. Imagine the ridicule. I'd say it's more than you and I could even begin to imagine. But since he believed it, really believed it, he had to confess it in word and deed and every way. Paul talks about preaching the gospel for the obedience of faith. He says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for the obedience to the faith of among all nations for his name. Because believing the gospel and obeying the gospel are the same thing. But now is made manifest in the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. But to this unbelieving world, Paul says, God in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Obey not the gospel. Peter, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be? of them that obey not the gospel of God. And you can go throughout that whole 11th chapter. These all believed God, and there was some manifest evidence of their believing in their experience. And God just shows them to us. Noah's faith proved a blessing to his household. He prepared an ark to the saving of himself. There's no guarantee that God will save our family or our children, but it's true that if he does, it will be by the witness of faith which believes the true gospel of Christ and seeks continually to set it before. But he's mainly a type of Christ. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. That's what Christ is. And Noah's faith had a witness for all the world around him. You say, well, I don't see where anybody else was saved. Well, the witness that God had him to give was not for their salvation, but for their judgment. He was a savior of death unto death to his generation. By which he condemned the world. His obedience to God, his walking with God, believing God, living the life of faith before them necessarily condemned them. Every day he built on that ark, and they didn't believe. Every day he preached this singular righteousness, and they did not believe. Just added to their condemnation. But then Noah's faith received the reward of God's grace. It says that he, by faith, became the heir of righteousness, of the righteousness which is by faith. Faith in Christ brings many present blessings. Peace and hope and courage and comfort and strength, but it brings more in the life to come. By it we are the heirs of God and joint heirs, heirs of righteousness, because God imputes to us the very righteousness of God in Christ. And we have reserved an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you.
Amen.
Noah's faith was true faith. And so with all of these others that we read about in chapter 11 of Hebrews, true faith. Because God begins each one's account by faith. And isn't it amazing? Isn't it just absolutely amazing that as you look down through these names and people that he mentions, and you remember what the Bible says about them, they are full of faults and falls and failures and sins and everything else. But they're never mentioned. They're never mentioned. They all begin with by faith. Faith in Christ. Faith which is believing what God says about Himself, what God says about us, what God says about His Son, what God says about the way that He saves sinners, what God says about everything. God, give us faith. And as those apostles pray, increase our faith. Noah planted a vineyard, got drunk, did a stupid thing, and sinned all his life. But he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God showed that He did by the faith that He demonstrated. Our Father, in this hour, we thank You in Christ Jesus our Lord. Give us faith. Increase our faith. Help us to believe. Lord, we believe, but help Thou our unbelief. We pray for that which You alone can do, and for that which You alone can give, and give only in Christ Jesus. We ask, we thank You, and we pray in His name. Amen. Amen.